Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower, and I'm here with the Watchman, and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And you can find Warn Radio on usa.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Pure Social, Spreely, and Linktree. You can listen to our shows on warn-usa.com and also danaglennsmith.com, where you can download and pass them on to your friends. And you can find Warn Radio on the following website streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And please be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a good comment on the shows where you've heard us. And do not miss these posts on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. American Prophecy Dead to Rights. American Prophecy Dead to Rights. You can be sure that there are enemies of our nation who are among us. The fruits of their labors shall find them wanting, even if they succeed to destroy America. They shall thus destroy themselves. And Christian faith versus fiction or failure. Many times it can be our Christian faith versus our frailties, fiction, and finally failure. Frailties of our own making by our own hand has made society its own worst enemy. Also, enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Even in America today, the tide of immorality floods the nations of men. In addition, the rise of Christian persecution brings to forefront the Gospels which warned us that the world would hate the cross and the Christians who follow Jesus Christ. And last but not least, faith believing unseen. Believers in Jesus Christ, having not seen him, there are many such Christians having never seen him, but they believe. Thus, believers and believing, blessed are you who have believed, yet not seen Christ. And the latest post on warn-usa.com is Christian persecution. Christian persecution of Christian believers is never far away. Despite this persecution, we find the miraculous occurring, and today we have the stories of the Lord moving in the lives of believers and unbelievers. And on Dana Glenn Smith, Steal the Darkness Conspiracy Behind the Conspiracy. Steal the Darkness is the ground floor of the secretive move to destroy America. Published in 2017, it details this event. Book 2, The Rising, takes this further and is due out in late 2021. Go to warn-usa.com to sign up. No, I'm sorry. To get the Warn News Radio newsletter, go to danaglennsmith.com, where you can sign up for the newsletter and also visit our resource and Christian bookstores, where we feature Christian books and other resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. This is another Friday morning. Sound the shofar. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. This is our one show we do in the morning. We got a weekend coming up. Sabbath. And we've got a mess. As if Joe Biden couldn't screw up things anymore in America, he decided to screw up Afghanistan. Man. You know, I don't think anybody on purpose could screw things up so bad. And it's too bad, not just for America and for the people there. It's bloody murder over there. And there's blood guilt. I teach on blood guilt. I've spoke about it. And there's going to be some people responsible for blood guilt over this one. And Joe Biden and those up there that are helping him in D.C. are going to be among them. Because that one little decision that he made has cost lives, a lot of lives. Yesterday, I was watching a video that someone had smuggled out of there. The Taliban shooting a bunch of guys that had fought against them. They killed them all. They started out by just, you know, the first guy used, he had a pistol, or, you know, and he'd shoot him in the head. Then the next one did it, then the other one did a little more, and then by the time it was done, all of them were firing their autos. Just riddled them and tore them apart. 60 seconds worth or more. Which is not unheard of for the Taliban and others. Bloodthirsty, going to hell. But I want you to know today that there are a lot of Muslims that are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And involved in this has been miraculous things happening. And matter of fact, one of the churches is the ALG, the Assembly of the Loving God, which the people that are responsible for it are originally are actually all Muslims, ex-Muslims, who had become followers of the Lord, disciples of the Lord, and they work in some of the toughest areas on the face of this earth. And it's tough work. And they happen to have some churches there in Afghanistan. Now they're all threatened. They haven't heard from them. Yep, there's a lot of trouble with this one. We should have never gone into any of those places, but we did. And you can look up Cheney and Rumsfeld and all those. There was a number of them that pushed it, that convinced Bush. Part of the PNAC, as we call it, Project for a New American Century. You can look it up. It should be online. We were talking about this many years ago when they were going through. I've still got the audio and the videos of some of the shows we did, but they're in our old a vast archive we keep. They're not on our site today. I keep all kinds of stuff. And I did this a long time ago. Well, at any rate, it's disgusting. Riddling the bodies just as a show of force. The people are already dead. Meanwhile, over at Cabal. And I think these were UK paratroopers. They were an elite squad of them. They could have been Americans. I'm not sure which side they're on. I didn't see any patches because they were over across the fence and the razor wire was up there. And they were looking over at the people. They were trying to get people out. Well, we don't expect a lot of Americans. Now, we know Joe sent a bunch there, but then he went back on vacation. Total disregard. You know, the guy isn't there. And the thing of it is that there are people that worked with him, Democrats, that said this is the reason a lot of the Democrats didn't support him. Because he's always been hard to work with. That's their words, not mine. So at any rate, suddenly out of the crowd, a little baby pops up. And I couldn't tell if they belonged to the mother or dad because of the way the camera was. But one of the guys grabbed the baby, and he could only grab a part of it. You know, by the back or the clothes, I can't remember which. Handed it off to one of the others. Gut-wrenching sight. But you see, the thing of it is, we've been tracking radical Islam around the world. And it's not just radical Islam. Radical communism in China, one of the biggest persecutors of Christians and Uyghur Muslims. North Korea. Radical anti-Christian. Nigeria, throughout all of Africa. The Fulani, Boko Haram, are some of the most successful ones making war against Christians. Slaughtered thousands of them. That's on record. India, radical Hindus. Modi, a nationalist Hindu. They're pushing to create a Hindu nation with no Christians or Muslims by the end of this year. That was their goal at the beginning of the year. And we've been in covering India for many, many years, and we know very well that when there's a flood, a disaster, or something like COVID, the Christians don't get anything. They ignore them. In many places, they won't get nothing. It was said a long time ago, during a particular disaster in India, they said, we're not going to give anything, just cry out to your other Christians and let them help you. This is the way it is in the world, and this is the way it's going to be. There are going to be anti-Christ, anti-Christians, and the world's going to get increasingly worse. And we are, from the signs we're seeing, we're getting down that road quite a ways. And of course, for most Christians in the West, they've been taught that it's a 7-year tribulation. You people need to get another grip. Yeah, better go take a look at the weeks of Daniel again and rethink what you're looking at. Because we've been, a lot of them have swallowed this 7 years of tribulation. That's not even scriptural. Concerning the Antichrist, there's only one group that specifically says in Scripture, and it's a number of days equals around 3.5 years. Once the beast arises. And there's going to be two of them. Three and a half years, but up until that point, it can be any number, and I can tell you that we've been going on for over two decades, well over two decades. And Christian persecution pretty much started ramping up even more at the year 2000. And then as we went, we had little pockets where it got worse, and then it really jumped 2014, 2015, initiated by ISIS going through the Middle East. We covered that. It's a mess. It's going to be a mess. We got a lot of things in the fire in America today. And having this thing in Afghanistan is just another terrible, terrible situation. Haiti got hit again. We've got fires, smoke, and it's some of the worst we've had. People are sick from it. People are suffering from the smoke. You're just suffering from smoke inhalation and a few problems in America. Meanwhile, around the world, people are getting slaughtered, killed, oppressed. We are in the end of days. So there's no better time than to get into the book of Hebrews. So in this new end time study, be sure that it's packed with relevancy. And of course, in the depth of this scripture, you're going to see a lot of things relating here. We begin Hebrews, Son of God, Part 1 today. And so we'll be looking at the setup today and moving into the deeper parts as we go forward. The word Hebrews itself sets up the direct line of the Messiah, the goal of his coming, and the assurance of his work as compared to the completion of the Old Covenant. While we look at some of the technical aspects and makeup of Hebrews, the real message centers around Yahshua, Jesus Christ, and his work to redeem mankind. Excuse me. And at no other time do we need to understand these things. The book itself presents the Christ, Christos, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. It brings the mission, the priesthood of Christ, the faith, and the practical applications of a faith united in the work of God through Yahshua, Jesus Christ. The whole presentation in the book is aimed at revealing and bringing people into the understanding of the true work of God through Christ. And at no other time do we really need to understand this than right now. But as we look, it gets to the point where at times it's hard to believe the way things are going. From International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, they have some notes on this. In the King James Version and the English Revised Version of the title of this book, it describes it as the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. I believe it was written by Paul. But whether it was written by Paul or not, the authorship, the scholarship, and the applicability to the real truth comes through. So the author, if it's not Paul, still has knowledge on this subject. Modern scholarship has disputed the applicability of every word of this title. Neither does it appear in the oldest manuscripts where we simply find two Hebrews. I don't see why that would be a problem. And of course, in the new world, beyond the ancient world, we're not satisfied with two Hebrews. Now, of course, it would be easy to just slip in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. However, in Alexandria, for instance, it was regarded in some sense as the work of Paul. Now, Clement tells his teacher, who they believe to be Pantanus, and he explains why Paul in this letter, as in others, does not address his readers under his name, bringing his name out. And he says that out of reverence from the Lord and to avoid suspicion and prejudice, he as an apostle of the Gentiles refrains from addressing himself to the Hebrews as their apostle. Now there would be a reason why he would do that, because it was agreed in the beginning that he would go to the Gentiles and Peter and the other apostles to the Jews. And so Clement accepted this explanation and adds it that to the original Hebrew of Paul's epistle had been translated into the Greek by Luke. Many believe that Paul wrote in Hebrew when he wrote this, and it was addressed to the Aramaic-speaking Hebrews. And Clement also noticed the dissimilarity of its Greek from that of Paul's epistles, and thought he found a resemblance to that of Acts. Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger, makes a few notes on this. The general subject of the epistle is that the Messiah of the Old Testament scriptures must suffer as a man, as an incarnate man, and that Jesus is the Messiah. Addressed to the Hebrews, to the nation under its earliest name, Palestinian Jews and the diaspora alike, outwardly for believers, and addressing such an epistle to Hebrews, Bullinger writes, he would naturally write as an instructed scribe, one brought up at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. We find that in Acts 22 and verse 3. So it's interesting to note that there's a lot of things in this. So in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, to me, we can find this reflective of Paul writes in Romans, because he speaks again in Romans 1 how God spoke, that he had manifested himself in different manners, at different times. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. And we're talking of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and on up. And then Moses, who delivered Israel. And of course, Jacob. Now see, that was actually before a lot of them. God spoke directly to them. But once they got in the land, God would send the prophets. Now, of course, the Lord, when he came, referred to this when he was weeping over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets. That's what they did. God would send a man of God in there, a prophet, and they didn't like the message, so they would stone him. So when the Son of God came, guess what? There's a bunch of them that rejected him. Now there's a lot that received him too. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. And these were born not by the will of man, but by the power of God, through the Spirit. And so has in these last days. Now the last days, that's when this thing was written, when they, and that's typical when we talk about Scripture. The last days have been going on for a long time. The last days being when the apostles were first writing about that. Peter, Paul, and of course, Luke, the physician. You have Timothy. I mean, you have a lot of them. And those were all considered the last days. Has in these last days, Hebrews 1:2, spoke unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, which also, if you read in John, you find out a little more about that, because John talks about that, especially the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was not anything made that was not made by him. Heir of all things. The Lord related, he says, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it back again. He lays his life down. He dies. But after his body is dead and laying in the tomb, he has the power to take it back again. And after 3 days he does, through the Spirit of God. He has the power to give it and the power to take it back. And while we do try to make him as a mere mortal, he was more than a mere mortal. He was the Son of God, who came in the likeness of flesh, to bring to us the hope that we have today. The very hope and the very reason that the devil has been making war against Yahshua and the Christians for a long time, ever since he came, and even before that. That's why we have the Taliban. That's why we have Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and many other radical Islamic groups. That's exactly why you have radical Hindus and radical Sikhs. You have radical pagan worshippers in India as well, Animists and others. Because they don't want any infringement on what they're teaching. Like Paul, when he took the gospel into Ephesus, great is Diana, they would cry. And the silver, those who worked in silver, and probably gold too, they were making statues, had a good living going. Paul comes in with the boys, and they start preaching the gospel. Miracles occur. People begin believing on the Lord, and they throw away their idols, and all living hell breaks loose. That's what happens. Leave us with our idols. Leave us with our false hopes because we're happy. No, we can't do that. Because without Yahshua, you're going to go to hell. and he died on the cross, and he said, take this gospel into the ends of the world, and this gospel shall be preached for a witness, and then the end shall come. No matter how much you hate the gospel, you hate the Christians, you don't want this to go out, it's going to go out. You're not going to stop the Word of God, you're not going to stop the Spirit of God, you're not going to stop heaven from coming to this earth. You can fight it, you can hate it, you can reject it, and you can go to hell in the process. But there's no need to do that. And I've said this many times. The Father didn't send His Son so you'd go to hell. He sent His Son so you would believe on Him and be healed and delivered. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, Yahshua said. What part of that don't you like? I have come that you might have life and have more abundantly. So God, who at sundry times in divers manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, that was the old covenant, but has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So in those first two verses is laid out the old covenant and the new covenant. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, old covenant, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir unto all things, by whom also He made the worlds, new covenant, new revelation. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the expressed image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, ever living to make intercession for the saints. Show us the Father, and we will believe. Have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, He says. He told the Jews, if you don't believe me, believe the very works that I do, for it's the Father in me who does them. For why do you stone Him? For what good works? For good works we do not stone Him. But because He made Himself the Son of God, equal to God, do we stone Him. Have I not said that you are gods in your word? He says. See, these are just little bits and pieces. You can look them up yourself. But the bottom line of it is that He expressed Himself all the way. He was the brightness of His glory. I like the best verse in the whole of the New Testament for me is John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was not anything made that was not made by Him. And then you follow it through and it just gets better. That tells you He's eternal. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I actually used that verse once in a talk with another pastor who wouldn't believe that Yahshua was a separate personage. He said, there is no other God, there's just one God, and which is typical in some Christian churches. They don't believe. But there are three separate persons. And I told him, I said, well, when he was baptized, John was baptizing him physically. The Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So you had God the Father speaking. You had the Spirit of God coming down and Yahshua standing in the water being baptized. So if there is no Father, he must have been a good ventriloquist. But even in that scene, in the baptismal scene, you see what we call the Trinity. No, you're not going to find it. That's more of a convenient theological term. I don't care whether you believe in the Trinity or not. There's a God and our Father and his Son, Yahshua, who is in his expressed image, and the Spirit of God. Well, you yourself, you have the flesh. We see you, but you have the Spirit on the inside. There's two right there. So how hard is it to believe that the Lord, when you receive him, comes in and joins with your spirit? Who, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father, in other words. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Even when he went to the cross, even when he was being beaten and spat upon, even when the Jews were mocking, he saved others, but he himself. Come down off the cross and save yourself. He wouldn't have done that. They didn't understand why he came. See, the devil came to kill him. And so when he was hanging on the cross, every devil in hell, including Satan himself, were rejoicing and jumping around, having a gay old time. Now see, when I say gay, I don't mean queer or same sex. When I was raised, the word gay just simply meant happy. So excuse me if I use that term. They would have been happy. Rejoicing, not knowing that when the hour of darkness came upon Yahshua, they were actually fulfilling what had to happen anyway, because it had been spoken by the prophets, the suffering servant. We should be getting into a lot of that here pretty soon. We're in Isaiah now. We're in chapter 39. And we did part 102 yesterday. We've done over 100 episodes of Isaiah. And we'll be in it for a while longer. Upholding all things by the word of his power. And you can see that in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you go to 1 John chapter 1, and he tells you again about the beginning. He was in the beginning. And so while darkness was plotting to kill him, they were actually fulfilling the prophecy concerning him. But there is a time of the power of darkness when God has decreed that that would happen. And we are in a time of the power of darkness right now. Now, when the full time comes of darkness will be when the son of perdition, the beast, shows up. When he had by himself purged our sins, that's the cross, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He gave instructions to the church. The apostles stood there as he was taken away in the crowd and in a cloud, and the angels said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? this same Jesus, as you have seen him go, shall so come in like manner. So he's going to come in the clouds. That's one of the signs. When he sat down with the apostles, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. You will see the Son of Man coming, and he will come out of the east. Even the Jews believe he's going to come out of the east. He's going to go through the eastern gate. This is why Jerusalem fell many times. I forgot how many times, but one of those times, I think it was their Mahdi, the one that was here a long time ago. He sealed up the gate to prevent the Lord from coming. You can't walk through there because I've sealed it up. I'm the Son of God, boy. I'm the one that created the stuff that allowed you to make the bricks there and put up that thing in the first place. I called every bit of that, every little grain of sand together. I created this earth you're standing on. I give you the breath that you have in order to oppose me. The body that you're in, I formed it so you could blaspheme me, so you could kill and eat, do evil. And I've given you a certain time on this earth to choose who you're going to serve. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, a judgment. But if you believe on me, the second death will have no power over you, and I will change you. All you have to do is repent and believe. But because we're humans, we're supposed to be smart, we're stupid. No, I don't want to be saved. Why would I want that? No, I'm just going to go ahead and be a heathen and do all this other stuff because that's what I want to do. And in essence, the wicked are saying, to hell with God. I don't need him. I got my own God. Well, if you read the prophets and pay attention, you're going to understand what they said. Go ahead, call upon your prognosticators. Use your witchcraft. Call upon your gods and see if you can be delivered out of my hands, saith the Lord. Why do you think God just doesn't destroy y'all right now? Peter said it, because he's long-suffering, wanting people to repent. So, when we look at the first three verses alone, we see a different personage. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just somebody that came along. You know, the difference between the Lord, between all the other false gods, is this God and this Lord has power. He has love. He has compassion. But he also has a righteousness. And there will be judgment. And he wants to deliver you from that judgment to where you don't perish. Verse 4, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And I like this. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. the angels didn't even know everything that was going on anyway. Paul makes that clear when he speaks of it. He's coming back with the angels. He isn't serving the angels. They're serving him. Or more likely, or more to the point, I should say, they are ministers unto those who are the heirs of salvation. It is hard to believe that when we see the chaos in the world today, the devil's going to come in because of chaos. That's the mystery of lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity. In order for the lawless one to come in, it must be lawless. If we were all righteous and everything was perfect, he could never come in. Why? Because he wouldn't be accepted. So he ain't going to come in until the right time. When that perfect time allows for him to come and deceive. And that's when evil will be riding high. That's when all those who have decried Christ and his Father will rejoice and attack the throne of heaven and God the Father and the Son and everything in heaven and every Christian. They will attack the Jews. They will attack Israel. And I'm talking verbally here. They will blaspheme like you've never seen. And in America, we already see a lot of that. We're not the same America. On the news, daily. You know, I mean, we hear it a lot. And recently, it came out that because of the Taliban, well, the Christians in America are just like the Taliban. No, we're not. You're a fool. Yeah, you sit up there and you make good money on a network, and you're able to give your commentary. And so it's a fool's commentary. But see, this is exactly what's to happen. If they have persecuted you, know that they persecuted me. The servant is not above his master. Through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. What part of that is you as a Christian don't you understand? Don't expect the wicked to understand it. They don't care. They don't want to understand it. But yet we find today the enemies of God coming to Christ Jesus. Through miracles and signs, through Old Testament type signs and wonders. Through apostolic type miracles, today, right now. And we have reported on many things. God is saving people. God is delivering people. And as things begin to twist into total chaos, you're going to find more and more people who are going to come to the Lord. But howbeit, there's going to remain that group that is deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us about it. Revelation 13 describes it. And then we see the promoter of it, Revelation 17 and 18, Mystery Babylon and the whore with the cup of abominations. And boy, we got abominations today. See, we've got a whole group of men, and the women are afraid of him, so they do what they say. And all these men, like the Taliban and Boko Haram and many others, go out and make war. And you see, when this was all created, it was created for men. Listen, guys, you can go out and make war and kill others. You can take whatever treasures they have. You can take their wife and rape them and then kill them if you want to. You can use them as a sex slave. You can take their daughters and do the same thing. You can make their sons into other jihadists. And the more you kill, the more you rape, the more you do all this evil, guess what? We're proud of you. Keep it up. So you'll go to paradise. And you'll drink heavenly wine and have all these black-haired virgins, and you can have sex to your heart's content up there. That's heaven. Now see, that's just purely a man's heaven. And then they had to adapt it to a woman's heaven. What righteous God is going to tell people, go out and kill, rape, and pillage, and I'll bless you for it? No. Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? The devil. That's the God they serve. And don't be fooled by the word Allah, even for the ones who are Christians who tell you, yeah, that's using the Bible. Of course it's using the Bible. And even the Lord told them that they had to use another name. Because it's a generic word for God. We're not talking about any God. We're talking about the God of all gods. We're talking about His Son, the Son of God who overcame. We're talking about His Spirit, the Spirit of God, which is perfect, which dwells in those who have received Him. We're talking about His Word that was given. He called the end from the beginning. But you see, there's something about this, because God reveals Himself to those who believe on Him. His Spirit bears witness with us that we are the child of God, and I can guarantee that. If you're a true believer, you know what I'm talking about. For His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. Verse 6, and again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angel He saith, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Now Daniel describes the Ancient of Days. He describes this scenario. About the Son. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Speaking of the Son, but I got news for you. Even those who have been born again can have the oil of gladness. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thy hands. He's speaking about the Son, creating everything. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This is your new covenant. This is your fulfillment. And if Elijah was here, and he could say to the Christian believers, look up in the sky and see those who were with us, for there are more with us than those who oppose us. And they would open up the heavens, and you would see legions of angels all across the land, the sky. More than you could count. And you'd look out before, and you'd see all the armies of the earth lined up around Israel to destroy it, having been led by the last great Gentile leader, who happens to be known in our vernacular as the Antichrist or the Beast. And this will be the last greatest deception the earth will ever see. Except for that little point in time after 1,000 years when the beast is released. And he'll go out to tempt again. It's kind of interesting that that's the way it is. That's why when you get into this, when you really get to looking at the book we're looking at, Hebrews, it is rich. Rich. And I love this book. There is no doubt about it. Thank God for this book. Because you can see everything coming together. And it really gets in the later part. There's so much that you can glean from it. Romans is another one. It's another really, really good book. There are things that, you know, people have kind of taken and it became an emphasis of the book. But that's not the emphasis of the book. We in America especially, we have been blessed, have lived in peace. And America, your time is coming for the shaking. Christian, you better wake up. Churches, you better wake up. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless this word to those that hear it whenever they do. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Be blessed. Look to the Lord. Draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Go by our websites at warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Read the articles, share them. You can leave comments, you can contact us on our contact page, listen to the show, share them with your friends. If you hear us on, we have a lot of places you can hear us. iHeartRadio, Spreaker, I mean it goes on and on. iTunes, we're on a lot of them. Worldwide, globally. Be sure to hit the like button. So until next time, this is The Watchman, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Till next time, shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.